Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all kinds of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. First, let's clarify what we mean by osteopathic medicine for our new listeners. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or that between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but it's not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal issues, post-concussive syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many, many other health issues. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem, comprehensively, at best, to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we start on today's topic, let me remind you that you can listen to all of the prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel syndrome, etc., by going to the Goldman Tripp website, www.goldmantripp.net, click on the radio show icon, then scroll down and click the individual show by topic. There are now more than 45 shows available. You can also get the most recent podcasts on the Robinhood Radio website itself in the on-demand section. It's amazingly convenient. Today, we're going to continue and actually finalize our exploration of the lungs and respiration. Again, it's a very large topic. And this time of year, when we're indoors in heated and insulated environments and just starting to poke our heads out, and we're likely having more exposure to colds and other respiratory illnesses, it's a good time to think about respiratory health. In the first lung show, we looked in detail at the anatomy of the lungs and respiratory system. In the second lung show, we went into more detail on some aspects of structure and function and explored the physiology of how breathing works. Last time, we began looking at some of the common diseases and problems that we can develop with our lungs and respiratory system, and we explored infectious diseases of the lung, which are caused by microbes like bacteria, viruses, and fungi. Today, we'll continue looking at lung pathologies, but we'll explore non-infectious problems meaning problems that occur without being started by infectious microbes. We'll start with a review of important information from the prior shows, so we're all on the same page before tackling the non-infectious diseases. Remember that we have two lungs that make it possible for us to breathe. Breathing, or more formally, respiration, is the process of inhaling oxygenated air, which then transfers the oxygen to our blood, and then exhaling deoxygenated air that contains the excess carbon dioxide delivered back to the lungs from the blood. The job of the lungs is primarily to deliver oxygen to the blood and remove carbon dioxide from the blood through breathing. The special proximity of tiny blood vessels, called capillaries, to the lung air sacs, called alveoli, makes this possible. Oxygen, of course, is essential for all of our cells to live and function, and removal of excess CO2 is also essential for survival. Our airways carry fresh, oxygen-rich air down through the trachea, which is our main airway from our nose and mouth, and into the lungs via all the airway branches called bronchi during inhalation. They carry old, oxygen-depleted, CO2-rich air out of the lungs with exhalation. The alveoli sit like clusters of grapes, or little balloons, at the ends of the tiny bronchial airways, and the alveolar sacs are separated from each other by tiny elastic membranes, again like little balloons. Surrounding these alveoli are networks of tiny blood vessels that we call the capillaries. These tiny blood vessels allow for direct gas exchange between the blood and the alveoli. This means that carbon dioxide can be released from the deoxygenated blood that has been returned by the capillaries and pass into the alveoli, and this CO2 can then be exhaled from the little alveoli air sacs through the airways and out of our nose or mouth. Then, as we inhale new, fresh, oxygenated air through our nose and airways and down into the alveoli, the blood inside the capillaries can then absorb new oxygen from the alveoli from the fresh air just inhaled into the lungs. This oxygenated blood can then be delivered to the heart and then pumped out into the body. Each time the heart beats in a full cycle, oxygenated blood flows from the lungs to the heart and out into the body, and deoxygenated blood flows from the heart into the lungs to release CO2 to be exhaled and then be reoxygenated by our inhaled air. The heart and lungs are deeply related and interdependent. The left side of the heart receives newly oxygenated blood directly from the lungs and pumps it out to the entire body, including the heart muscle itself, through the arteries. The right side of the heart receives deoxygenated blood from the great veins. The veins collect deoxygenated blood throughout the body and return it to the right atrium of the heart, that then pumps it out through the right ventricle back to the lungs through pulmonary vessels. Recall that the word pulmonary refers to lungs. Once in the lungs, this venous blood can then be oxygenated and have the CO2 released, and then can be returned to the left atrium of the heart through a different set of pulmonary vessels to be dispersed out into the body again via the left ventricle. Each heartbeat pumps the blood to its next assignment, either as oxygenated blood to the body tissues from the left side of the heart, or as deoxygenated blood to the lungs from the right side of the heart. Anything that interferes with these mechanisms will put a strain on the heart and the lungs and can lead to cardiac-associated respiratory distress. Breathing is the process of inhaling followed by exhaling. In order to inhale, our diaphragm contracts and descends lower into our chest, creating changes in the pressure inside our chest that allows outside air to flow into our lungs all the way down to the little alveoli. As part of inhalation, all of our ribs and our sternum expand outwards through the actions of numerous muscles that attach to the ribs and sternum. You can imagine that if any of the ribs or the sternum are restricted and cannot move freely and normally, this can inhibit our ability to take in a good deep breath. Exhalation follows inhalation as the diaphragm relaxes and rises again, restoring baseline pressure in the chest and helping to expel the air now depleted of oxygen and heavy with carbon dioxide. The act of breathing is controlled by a very complex combination of conscious control through the central nervous system, for example, when we decide to hold our breath, and unconscious control from the autonomic nervous system, for example, while we're sleeping. And that is a fascinating subject in and of itself that we have to save for another time. But you can see how much of the body is involved with breathing and keeping the lungs freshly supplied with new air and relieved of stale air. Which brings us to today's topic of what can go wrong with this miraculous and complex system that is not caused by a microbe. There are hundreds of pathologies affecting the lungs and respiratory system. You can imagine that with all the coordinated moving parts, the relationship with the heart, the complex morphology and functions of the decreasing sizes of airways, the delicate membranes of the alveoli, the tiny blood vessels in between the alveoli, the diaphragm and associated membranes and fascias, as well as all the muscles, bones, and nerves involved in breathing, that there are an almost infinite array of potential problems. Nonetheless, we spend most of our lives breathing normally and effectively through illnesses and injuries for upwards of 80 years. What an amazing, incredibly resilient system. So keep that in mind as we discuss all these potential problems, and do be in awe of the human body's ecosystem and how well it is designed and how well it works. Common problems of the respiratory system can be divided, as we mentioned, into infectious diseases caused by viruses, bacteria, fungi, or other microbes, and non-infectious disease caused by environmental or behavioral factors such as smoking, cancers, genetic tendencies, autoimmune, or other physiologic or cardiac conditions. Both infectious and non-infectious disease can settle into various tissues of the lung. We discussed infectious diseases in the last show, and today we'll tackle non-infectious diseases. A vast topic. Essentially, anything that influences the structure or function of the cardiac and respiratory systems can lead to a lung pathology. We can't possibly cover all of these possibilities in this show, but we'll explore a few of the more common non-infectious problems. So we're going to start with asthma. Asthma is one of the most common airway illnesses. It's caused by the airways being more reactive than usual to environmental irritants or stress. The airways narrow reflexively and become inflamed and congested, making it increasingly difficult to breathe. If the condition persists and becomes chronic, the airways are consistently inflamed and may occasionally even spasm, causing chronic wheezing and shortness of breath. Allergies, temperature changes, such as going out into the cold from a heated space, exercise, stress of any kind, pollution or other environmental toxins like cleaning chemicals or strong fragrances can trigger asthma symptoms. Infections can also exacerbate asthma, although they are rarely the primary cause. Asthma is conventionally treated with inhalers and/or nebulizers that cause dilation of the airways. They're called bronchodilators. And it may or may not include steroids or other anti-inflammatory drugs to reduce the inflammation. It's important to try and understand what your individual triggers are and to work with the anatomy and autonomic nervous system to ensure optimal function of the whole respiratory system while reducing exposure to asthma triggers. Over time, this osteopathic approach can lead to reduced airway reactivity and symptoms and more independence from the pharmaceutical medications. Another common lung pathology is a group of disorders called chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD for short. COPD is a chronic, meaning long-term and progressive, inflammatory lung disease that causes obstructed airflow from the lungs. The most well-known of these is emphysema, which is a lung condition defined by an inability to exhale fully, meaning you can't get all the old CO2-rich air out of your lungs in order to make room for the new oxygen-rich air to come in. This causes difficulty breathing. Lung damage allows air to be trapped in the lungs in this form of COPD. Difficulty blowing the air out is its hallmark sign. Emphysema results from damage to the fragile connections between the alveoli air sacs so that they lose their boundary walls and enlarge. So, for example, two adjacent alveoli become one larger alveolus with a larger chamber because the wall between them has become damaged. As the pathology progresses, the person winds up with fewer and fewer but larger and larger alveoli, making it harder and harder to empty the air from them. Smoking of anything, both active and passive, is the usual cause. But other environmental exposures can create the same problem, such as chronic environmental smoke exposure. There is no cure for emphysema, and it is relentlessly progressive until eventual death. Patients with advanced disease suffer terribly from anxiety and air hunger since they can't exhale or inhale fully. Please, do your future and present self a great favor and don't smoke. Chronic bronchitis is another form of COPD that is characterized by a chronic productive cough caused by chronic irritation of the lining of the large airways. Bronchiectasis is a form of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease in which the large airways of the lungs, those bronchi, become damaged and widened with thickened walls. Mucus can collect in these dilated airways, allowing bacteria to grow and cause recurrent lung infections and a chronic cough, which is actually caused by the accumulating mucus. But these secondary repeated infections are not the primary active cause of the disease. Repeated childhood infections, however, may be causative to bronchiectasis because the repeat infections can lead to the scarring and widening of the airways that results in bronchiectasis. The disease may be localized to one area of a lung or generalized throughout both lungs. Careful monitoring of the lungs, optimization of respiratory system function and structure, and prevention of repeated infections is essential in treating bronchiectasis. Cystic fibrosis is a genetic condition that affects many organs in the body, including the lungs, and also causes poor clearance of a particularly thickened and sticky mucus from the bronchi. The accumulated mucus results in repeated lung infections. Cystic fibrosis requires specialist care. Pneumoconiosis is a category of conditions caused by the inhalation of a substance that injures the lungs. Examples include black lung disease from inhaled coal dust and asbestosis from inhaled asbestos dust. Some causes of pneumoconiosis can also lead to lung cancer. Lung cancer, of course, has many forms and may develop in any part of the lungs. Most often, it's in the main part of the lung, in or near the air sacs. The type, location, and spread of lung cancer determines the treatment options. Mesothelioma is a rare form of cancer that forms on the pleura of the lungs. Recall that the pleura are the two thin layers of tissue that wrap around and protect the lungs, with a very thin space between these layers called the pleural cavity, which is filled with pleural fluid so that these two layers can slide against each other. Mesothelioma is caused by asbestos exposure. It tends to emerge several decades after the asbestos exposure. The lung interstitium is the microscopically thin, delicate lining between the lung's air sacs, between the alveoli. Tiny blood vessels run through the interstitium and allow gas exchange between the alveoli and the blood. Various lung diseases specifically affect the interstitium and are called, logically enough, interstitial lung disease. or ILD. A diverse set of lung conditions affects the interstitium: sarcoidosis, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, and varied autoimmune diseases are among the many types of ILD. Sarcoidosis is an inflammatory disease that affects multiple organs in the body, but it usually occurs primarily in the lungs and lymph glands. In people with sarcoidosis, abnormal nodules, called granulomas, form in diverse organs of the body. The root cause is unknown, but it does occur more often in certain ethnicities, and there may be an autoimmune component. Neurological disorders of many kinds can lead to poor function in the nerves controlling the respiratory muscles and therefore cause difficulty breathing. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis and myasthenia gravis are examples of neurological lung disease. Recall that the chest musculoskeletal system plays a primary and essential role in respiration and lung function. Many layers of muscles and fascia support the ribs and chest and make inhalation and exhalation possible. As we discussed in the prior shows, the muscular action of the diaphragm expands the chest and creates pressure changes that allow us to inhale. Any injuries or dysfunction in the chest musculoskeletal system can lead to respiratory disease. For example, obesity hypoventilation syndrome occurs when extra weight on the chest and abdomen makes it difficult for the chest to expand, and serious breathing problems can result. Anxiety can lead to impaired diaphragm excursion with contracted or spasming chest wall muscles and result in shortness of breath that prolongs the anxiety and increases respiratory distress. Significant scoliosis can make it physically difficult or even impossible for the diaphragm to move, and when extreme, it can severely impede respiration, leading to shortness of breath and inadequate oxygenation. It is essential that the normal functioning of all of the moving parts of the respiratory system, the diaphragm, ribs, the muscles and bones of the chest, shoulders, and neck, are all maintained to ensure good health and recovery from any respiratory illnesses. Which brings me back to osteopathy in the close of today's show with a reminder that an osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for respiratory issues of all kinds. Working gently with our hands, with the involved organs, nerves, vasculature, fascias, capsules, and associated tissues to release restrictions in the physical tissues of the lungs, airways, and diaphragm, and the blood and lymphatic flow, as well as to help balance the autonomic nervous system function based on anatomical detail, and to help with nutritional issues and support for whatever procedures or treatments you may be going through. Recall that all the respiratory system is a complex physical entity with connections between all the parts that need to be open, flexible, and moving freely with excellent neural conduction from the nerves, optimal arterial and venous blood flow, and lymphatic drainage to remain healthy, vital, and functioning normally. Well, I'm out of time again. That seems to happen every time. This concludes our series on the lungs, but you can revisit these show podcasts anytime on the Goldman Trip website. Meanwhile, thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. You can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and you'd like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. I'll be looking forward to being with you next time. Meanwhile, take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thanks for listening.